The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield on 702.
Let's walk the talk
on 92.7 and 106 FM.
The Money Show brought to you by Absa Corporate and Investment Banking, bringing trade finance, cash management and investor solutions to Cybos 2021. The bravery to imagine. That's Africanacity. Absa is a registered FSP. Welcome to The Money Show. If it sounds a little stranger than normal, it is because we are out of studio and we are on the rugby fields at the massively picturesque campus of the University of Cape Town, and in the shadow of Devil's Peak, which of course is part of the broader Table Mountain range. And it is the beginning this Sunday of the Absa Cape Epic. It's where it's all starting and where it will end 8 days later, the next Sunday, here on the sports fields of UCT. So it is going to be a spectacular start on Sunday. The weather is a little ropey. It is very breezy in Cape Town. That's sort of unnecessary to say, I suppose. It's always breezy in Cape Town. But it is cool. It is overcast. There are squalls of rain coming through. Sunday promises to be a fair weather day. There will be some light showers, but there won't be any serious wind, which the cyclists will be delighted with. And it looks like a pretty cool week to go cycling around the Western Cape in what is a most astonishingly picturesque but brutal 8 days of cycling. We'll talk all about it with the managing director of the Cape Epic. We'll get really in depth into the world of cycling this evening, including the business of cycling, which is enormous. It really is enormous. And our Friday file this evening even has luxury cycle gear, double padded pants and things like that. And of course, tonight's brutal biz quiz has got a cycling theme because, hey, we're committed to this. Coming to you live from Team Absa Zone at the Absa Cape Epic from UCT, this is The Money Show, brought to you by Absa Corporate and Investment Banking. The bravery to imagine and the will to get things done, George.
The Money Show
with Bruce Whitfield on 702.
702.
Well, up first this evening in a smorgasbord of guests to give us a real picture of what's going to be happening over the next 10 days out of Cape Town and through the back roads of the Western Cape. Up first tonight, Michael Flynn, who is Managing Director of the Absa Cape Epic. The Capsa, there we go. It's much quicker that way. The Absa Cape Epic. Mike Flynn, welcome to The Money Show this evening. Have you ever done the Epic, or do you just subject other people to the agony of this, what do they call it, the Tour de France of mountain biking?
Good evening, Bruce. Happy to be with you. I've not done the race itself, but we have tested the route, and I can attest that it is indeed a grueling challenge. So the guys have really got something exciting in store for them, and they've been preparing for months on end. In fact, some of them 2 years to actually take part in this year's event, and we're really fortunate to be at this point, given all we've been through.
I mean, the Absa Cape Epic is a business in its own right. You guys have been going since the mid-early 2000s, 2004, 2005. That's many epics under your belt, and it's grown to an event of some substance. There's like 600 and something teams that are actually participating, and you've got to come with a mate, don't you? And it's almost the cycling buddy system through the back roads of the Western Cape.
Yes, absolutely, Bruce. The race is founded on this concept of partnership, a two-person team format. We, in an ordinary year, we would have 680 teams taking part of two. And really, this is one of the key things. And we see that throughout the event, not just with the teams taking part and the riders. It has become a business beyond just the race itself, with our partners, our sponsors, our title partners, Absa, and also the communities that we visit. So it really is the foundation of, and it's in essence the DNA that makes the race and this business what it is. It's about partnership.
What is the purpose? I mean, the purpose is obviously to torture 680 teams of people, but it is a huge logistical exercise because people are they travel light as they possibly can. They arrive in camp literally every single evening, and you've set up a village of tents for the members of the team, plus you've got as many people as roadies following the team around the Western Cape each and every single day.
Absolutely. We've really got we've built a machine, and over the years it's quite a quite an impressive feat to think that you've got 1,300 riders and 1,300 crew members that are essentially, as you said, erecting a town or a mini city in the middle of nowhere of the Western Cape. And I think you touched on it earlier. So what is this race about, and what does it mean? It's about showing the beauty of South Africa, not just that, but as a destination to come and ride your bike. Who doesn't love a good mountain bike race? But also for South Africa as a business destination. You know, we've got professional riders who are actually making South Africa their base for training and preparation. And then all the small businesses along the way that are actually benefiting from this. So it's about leaving a legacy, and I think it was founded on that to showcase South African beauty, but it's become more of that. And what is the legacy that it stands for?
But the stature also in the world of mountain biking, this event has risen in stature over the years too, from maybe a warm-up round for mountain bike races across the world. It's an event in its own right.
Absolutely. I mean, people are equating it. In fact, Bart Brenschen's first Olympic gold medalist in mountain biking, he has said that it's the Tour de France of mountain biking. It's the one that everybody does want to win in their career. And, you know, I said it earlier when we were talking before the show, that you've got professional riders who used to use in the early years the Absa Cape Epic as a starting race to kind of prep them for their main season. But it's become the main race that they all want to be at. And we're really blessed for that.
And COVID, in terms of entries and people traveling from around the world to participate, has it been restrictive?
Surprisingly, we've been very lucky and fortunate. We're sitting at about 45% of the field that are still international under the COVID conditions, and it really has surprised us, given all the uncertainty that's out there. But we're really happy to have them here, and it brings a lot of indirect economic benefit to the community.
And it just draws a huge amount of interest if people from all over the world are participating in a big global event in the Western Cape over the next 8 days. Mike Flynn, you've got a lot of organizing to do and a lot of things to tie down, because I think the wind's going to pick up this evening. But Mike Flynn is the Managing Director of the Absa Cape Epic. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. And listening into that, Andrew McLean, who is the founder at Cycle Lab. Andrew McLean, welcome to the Money Show this evening. And it was a great weekend in the Western Cape last weekend, of course, because there was the Cape Town Cycle Tour. It used to be called the Argus. This weekend, we've got people on very expensive bicycles who are your manna from heaven, riding their bicycles for the next 8 days around the Western Cape. This is an industry which, dare I say, is flying.
Bruce, thank you for having me. Absolutely. I mean, my whole career, we've had more stock than customers, and now we've got more customers than stock. Who would have thought that?
That's brilliant. I hope it's not because of supply constraints, and it's more to do with the surge in popularity, of course, of mountain biking. What is a mountain bike that is used on the Absa Cape Epic over the next 8 days? Typically, what is the average price likely to be? Because some of these things sell for the prices of small cars.
They do, and I would imagine the average price would probably come out at somewhere around 90 to 100,000. And like you say, there will be bikes on the line over 200,000 rand.
Do those cycle themselves or something? I mean, what on earth justifies a price tag of 200,000 rand for a couple of tubes, two wheels, you don't even get a spare on the back, and some gears?
And how bizarre, the less there is in the bike, in other words, the lighter it is, the more expensive it is as well.
It's an astonishing, and the growth of this sport has been nothing short of astonishing. I mean, the sort of people who might have 20 years ago gone and played golf all day have taken to mountain biking. It almost is as if this is cycling, certainly broadly, and mountain biking in particular, is the A-type's new form of entertainment.
It is, and in a bizarre kind of way, COVID did cycling and golf, for that matter, a huge favour. And you know, we're a cycling industry built on the back of events, and what better event to have than the Tour de France of mountain biking in our back garden? But when COVID came along, we were really concerned that without events, how would the entire industry behave? Because clearly, we don't have much of a commuter market in South Africa. And bizarrely, I think most bike shops had a bumper year last year, if not their record year ever, and it's continued. Now that events are coming on back online, things are really looking good. But as you said at the beginning, we've got some supply constraints which are going to be with us, I would imagine, for the next year or so.
Andrew McLean, thank you very much for chatting to us this evening. He is the founder at Cycle Lab. Listening into that, Anthony FitzHenry, who is the founder of Qubeka, and it has been a wonderful boon for Qubeka to have cycling really taking hold again, Anthony. And Qubeka Foundation, one of the beneficiaries, of course, of the Cape Epic. How much sort of support have you had as a result of the Epic over the years?
So Bruce, we've had incredible support. What we found is that cyclists can identify with the work we do, and they're enormously generous people, both in South Africa and around the world. And what the Cape Epic does is it gives us a global platform to the work that we do. Fantastic.
Talk to me about Qubeka and what it does do.
So we help change people's lives by putting them on bicycles. So we help children access schools, healthcare, and people who are not in jobs or education start small businesses that are bicycle-based.
And how many lives do you think you've touched over the years?
If I talk about South Africa specifically, through our donors, have donated about 110,000 bicycles. And, obviously the impact is quite a lot bigger than that. And for every bicycle we donate, we change about 3 to 4 lives. So probably 500,000.
It's an astonishing success story. It really is. How are you going to be benefiting from this particular race?
So the race does raise us money, and there are a lot of people that race participate for us, and they match the cost with a donation, which is amazingly generous. And internationally, through the media coverage, our grassroots fundraising, Take It to Cup. So, and a lot of the sponsors of the races also make donations. So it's a significant annual event for us.
Are you a participant ever in the Absa Cape Epic, Anthony?
No, I'm quite old. I'm a lot older than Andrew, and I regrettably I should do to extend my life. But when my children grew up, I needed to be there for them. I did the first Cape Epic, and I used to.
Oh, you've done one. Okay, no, that's fine. Yes, no, that's fine, Anthony. We'll let you off then. As long as you've done at least one and you're not looking to subject countless other cyclists for future generations to an awful lot of pain for nothing. Anthony, thank you for chatting to us this evening. A wonderful beneficiary, of course, of the APSA Cape Epic. Into all of that, the Cape Talk fitness correspondent, Liesel van der Veste, and she does the early breakfast show on KFM. And for the next 8 days is going to be following the pack, and she's going to be updating us each and every single day about progress. Liesel, I mean, have you ridden the Cape Epic? You are a fitness fanatic in your own right, but have you ever been mad enough to take part in this tour?
I was mad enough to enter, and 6 weeks before I fell on the route that we are seeing the prologue start off on Sunday, and I broke my wrist, so I had to pull out. And I've never had the guts again to enter. But now that I've been looking at all the routes and the videos online at the Cape Epic website, capeepic.com, I'm really starting to get tempted and maybe be dipping my toe in the next 2 years.
Well, we'll take that as a commitment. In the 2 years' time, you will be participating. You've said it here, and so therefore you'll be held to it. Just give me a helicopter view, please, quite quickly, of the route that the cyclists will follow, because this is an enormous logistical exercise that has to be carried out with a huge amount of military precision through some of the wildest country in the Western Cape. Some of it's incredibly inaccessible and quite rural.
Absolutely, Bruce. It's going to be rugged mountain tracks. There's going to be single track, sandy farm roads. We're going to see the best of what the Western Cape has to offer, as not every day is the same, not every route every year is the same. And Sunday we'll see where the team starts off in the prologue, and that is just through UCT, 20 kilometers, I know all the riders are going to be watching the weather quite carefully the next couple of days to see what the rain's going to do, because that's quite a quick route, and if it gets too wet and too slippery, that means the trails could be washed away. And then stage one is in series on Monday, 98 kilometers, 1,800 meters of vertical ascent. And from series, it goes to Saronsburg through to Slunghoek to Wellington. And weather-wise, I can tell you, it's looking like really good weather. A lot of the riders are watching what the wind's going to be doing. And I think by stage five, we'll have a little bit of some strong winds there. But highs of 28 expected in Wellington on Friday, 22, 23 in Saronsburg and series as well. So it really looks like it's going to be a good condition. And it's a different time of the year that we normally, from when we normally experience the APSA Cape Epic.
I've seen the Cape Epic guys on route in the past in blistering 40-degree temperatures. They're not going to have to contend with that this year, at least. And I think the rain hopefully will be done by the time the Epic kicks off. Does Epic kick off? Cycle off on Sunday. The clouds are squeezing out their rain over our heads as we speak. There is rain bucketing down over UCT at the moment. And hopefully, I think, you know, it looks to be a dryish day tomorrow. A little bit of a few scattered showers coming through on Sunday, but nothing too serious on that particular front. You're going to be broadcasting each and every single day during the Epic, and we're going to hear a lot from you, Liesl.
Absolutely. We're going to be looking at not just our leaders of the pack. We're going to see what some of the back riders are doing, who's cycling for which charities, because that's also what the APSA Cape Epic is all about. You'll see, and I know you were talking to Andrew earlier, just what the riders are doing, who they're riding for, and the stories behind the reasons why they're riding and why they're putting themselves through 8 days of 619 kilometers, over 15,000 meters of vertical ascent, and why they're actually doing this race. So I'll be there for the next 8 days.
And it's a hell of a race, isn't it? I mean, this is hard. This is, you go, well, it's 6 days, it's 619 kilometers, 1,500 meters of vertical ascent. You say it like it's, we're going to the beach to have a picnic, but it's not. It's the furthest thing from.
It absolutely is. And it's not just these next couple of days that these mountain bikers, and I'm talking not only about the elite, I'm talking about the weekend warriors that have been training up for this for the last 9 months, 12 months, and having given up family time, having given up weekend time to spend time on the bike. So it is a challenge. It is going to be a challenging technical couple of days. And it's about a team. So you and your partner have to stick together throughout the whole event. And that can also be quite challenging because you're riding difficult terrain. There could be fights. There could be some technical challenges. But you have to stick to your partner and make sure that you reach your water points, the checkpoints, and the endpoints quite close to each other.
Thank you to Liesl van der Westhuizen. She is going to be tailing the whole of the Cape Epic, Cape Talk fitness correspondent, and she's going to be keeping tabs on the stories and the front lines and, of course, the back stories too. It's going to be absolutely fabulous. Of course it is, here on The Money Show.
The Money Show.
With Bruce Whitfield on 702.
702.
Well, over the last 24 hours, we've seen extraordinary developments in a story we told you about a couple of weeks ago about a London Stock Exchange company suspended within days of listing. And it's got deep South African connections. It's called Umuti. And what we've seen in the last 24 hours is arrests happen in South Africa in that particular case. Connie van Nieuwenkerk, who appeared in the Palm Ridge Magistrates Court yesterday with her co-accused Gerhardus Verlinden, they were arrested yesterday, and it's claimed that the chief executive, together with another executive, persuaded shareholders to buy shares that did not exist. And we spoke when the story first broke that there was big trouble coming with a man called Anthony Morris, who is one of the very, very angry shareholders, of course, which we spoke to last month. We did give Connie and other executives the right of reply. They confirmed, and then they cancelled, and then said they'd reschedule at a later date. And now we hear that they have been arrested. Well, the SAPS's Colonel Katlego Mogale told us a little earlier on today why these charges have been laid.
She was remanded in custody until the 21st of October 2021 for a formal bail application. Viljoen was granted a bail of 20,000 rand, and his matter was postponed to the 1st of December 2021. This is following the two being arrested yesterday. They were allegedly a CEO and an executive official who persuaded the shareholders to buy shares that did not exist from a healthcare company, since it was going to be listed in the Standard Board of the London Stock Exchange. The shareholders were further threatened that if they do not pay a certain amount of cash, they will forfeit their existing shares. They were given bank accounts where the monies will be deposited, which was later discovered that there were suspects' personal accounts. 30 shareholders lost over 50 million rand due to misrepresentation.
A really interesting case, Colonel Katlego Mogale on The Money Show.
The Money Show.
The Markets.
On to Gary McNamara, Portfolio Manager at Sunlum Private Wealth. Gary, we are from the start of the APSA Cape Epic, which starts off on Sunday. This is not your kind of thing. You prefer epic stock markets, I think, to bicycle rides through the countryside, I guess.
Absolutely, Bruce. But yeah, and we've had a good time of it, I must be honest, over the last 18 months from the depths of the pandemic. And it hasn't been a terrible day today, quite a mixed day, but yes. Definitely prefer markets to riding the bike, but I'm certainly the exception to the rule.
Now, when you look at the sort of profile of stock markets and you look at all of the ups and downs, it looks a bit like a cross-section of what the cyclists are going to be doing on the Cape Epic. And we are, by the way, coming to you live from the Team APSA Zone at the APSA Cape Epic from UCT on This Money Show. It's brought to you by APSA Corporate and Investment Banking, the bravery to imagine and the will to get things done. So, Gary, today it was certainly the turn of the hospital shares. They did all of the work today in taking the JSE back above the 67,000 level.
Absolutely. We had a trading update from Mediclinic where the top line revenue growth on the previous quarter, which was pretty much in the depths of the pandemic, was up significantly, about 15% revenue growth, and they were above the pre-pandemic level from a revenue point of view. And I think what really excited the market was that they made the comment in the update that they are starting to see elective surgery coming back again. And a lot of these hospital groups have been really inundated with COVID cases, the Netcares, the Life Healthcares, the Mediclinics, and the government hospitals. But with that comment, people are really starting to see that, and that's where they make their margins. And the margins on the update was up from 12% to 15%. So across the board, Mediclinic was obviously the biggest performer, 11.5% up. Netcare 6.5%, and then Life Care. So they were really all beneficiaries. And we've been really waiting for this active surgery to start coming through. And they made the announcement today in the trading update that they are starting to see quite strong signs of that. And it's reflected in the margins coming through as well, which are very good.
It's also very good for the independent business owners who are the medical specialists who need to get theatre time and can't during pandemics. And so they actually end up losing quite a lot of income as well during this time. And it's something that often we forget. Overall, a positive day for the JSE, lifted by those hospital shares. There wasn't too much other news about. What we are seeing, I beg your pardon, Gary, is some really quite robust commodity prices. Platinum group metals are doing nicely. They're a critical part of our commodity basket. And the risk of, you know, US interest rates seems to be fading a little bit. And that's been quite positive for the currency, which has trended a lot stronger since Wednesday.
Absolutely. Well, starting with the currency, we're back at the same level as we were against the dollar at the 1st of January. So we're 14.65, and it's very much commodity-driven. We've had a windfall on the taxes with commodities. And as you say, they were under a little bit of pressure 3 weeks ago, and they've recovered very nicely. Platinum metals, your basic iron ore and copper up very strongly. But in the background, you've still this very strong debate between what they call transitory inflation, where it's really supply chain management issues, where they think once COVID behind us and we get back to normalization, inflation will come out of the system? Or is it more of a long-term factor where there hasn't been investment in capacity, manufacturing, the mines? You know, we were talking about Billiton and Anglo's really being very disciplined in a very high commodity cycle by not investing in new mines. But whether that's going to lead to inflation down the line because there's a shortage of commodities, that debate's still ongoing, and that's got a big impact on the interest rate outlook for America, and that view is very divided at the moment.
Gary McNamara from Sunland Private Wealth, tonight's market commentator, on a day where the JSE went back above 67,000, the currency continued strengthening, and the return of elective surgeries to private hospitals boosted the share prices, particularly of Mediclinic, but Netcare and Life Healthcare also saw gains today.
The Money Show is brought to you by Absa Corporate and Investment Banking, highlighting the need to sustainably recharge global finance at Cybos 2021. That's Africanacity. Absa is a registered FSP.
We are at the start of what will be the Absa Cape Epic on Sunday. There have been big squalls of rain coming through UCT, where the start is being set up over the last 3 or 4 days. And this is going to be the scene where about 1,300 cyclists will depart from here. They will cycle over the top of Table Mountain. Well, not the top of Table Mountain, but through the Table Mountain range on cycle paths that meander through these beautiful mountains. They'll then head all the way up towards Ceres and then cut through the Western Cape over 8 epic days of cycling, and really it has become a world leading event, and we are very privileged this evening to be broadcasting from the start of this particular race. We're going to be talking about the comfort part of cycling, double pads and pants notwithstanding, but we'll talk to a man who makes cycle kit, bespoke cycle kit, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. On your next Money Show, Stuart Theobald, the co-founder of IntelliDex, who thinks very deeply about other people's money, is going to be subjected to an interrogation all about his money. It's going to be a fascinating discussion. We'll see whether or not he's got any small Inyana skeletons lurking, as we always do. And then Angelo Agrizi is going to make his Money Show debut. He's written a big fat book all about the ugly truths of state capture and why they tried to kill him. Angelo Agrizi on The Money Show. And then, of course, the luxury of conversation brought to you by the sleek Lexus LS500. Next time on The Money Show.
The Money Show.
The Friday File.
The Friday File.
If you are going to be perfectly honest with yourself and with those who are nearest and dearest to you, it is an absolute fact that very few people look good in Lycra. I don't think it's not made for everybody. And like cyclists, not all cycling kit is created equal. Vye Cycling Kit, V-Y-E, has been manufacturing custom cycling apparel for the last decade or so. And the owner, Bjorn Vye, is with us, on the line to us from Cape Town. Most of the kit that we see in the shops, Bjorn, I think is probably, like most cycling equipment, imported probably from Asia, from China mostly.
Yes, Bruce, there is quite a bit from China and from Europe as well, but there are quite a few manufacturers in South Africa and Cape Town particularly, us being one of them. But I see you are a bit afraid of the skinny Lycra stuff. Nowadays, people are riding in trail shorts, so it covers all those all the slinky bits. And,
you see, cycling kit is designed for real humans too, and I'm delighted to hear it, Bjorn. I mean, you've been doing this for a decade or so. How big is the market for custom cycling gear? Because there is the off the peg stuff, but there are lots of people like yourself who are manufacturing, you know, more specific batches of gear for real people.
Yes, we do, and that's the biggest part of our business is doing cycle kit for charity groups and cycling teams, but, and also we call the Absa Cape Epic the wedding season, because you are manufacturing a whole range of clothing for people that are very different in size, and often the teams coming from Europe, you don't even see them until they come and try their kit on. We call it the wedding season, when people are coming to our factory trying kit on and getting things adjusted specifically for their fit.
It's amazing, isn't it? And we were just talking about the huge number of industries an event like this does support. And clearly, from your perspective, not only is it great for business just for the APSA Cape Epic, but also then they become your show ponies. And people go, hold on a second, that's slightly different. I quite like that gear. A little bit of research gets them to your website.
Absolutely. We always try and make our kits the best and the most market-leading kits, so that when it's worn by our athletes, they show it off, and we get more sales that way. Yeah.
Talk to me about the difference then between what is commercially available and the custom-made stuff. Your particular gear, which is standout. You very kindly supplied the team at Cape Talk with some masks that you diversified into when cycling died briefly at the start of the pandemic. And I'm assuming that the materials that you use there is the sort of materials that you're using in your cycling gear.
Yes, the cycle kit material mostly comes from Italy, and some of it comes from the East. There's a huge variety of performance fabrics, dry wicking and cooling and stretch and grip and all sorts of tricks to get it to fit and stick and not pull up and not pull down and make you look super slim. And we've got to keep up with all the trends and the reflective and the high vis and the different types of zips and fastening. And it's quite an interesting business, actually, in terms of keeping up with all the trends, because there are some clothing manufacturers and sportswear manufacturers that haven't kept up with the times, and they're not manufacturing so many for the leading athletes, like in the Cape Epic. And you just got to keep up, otherwise you'll find yourself left behind.
Is there a greater opportunity to specialize in cycling gear than there would be perhaps in golf and tennis and other sports, which tend to be dominated by the big global brands who very, very clearly focus on those sports? They don't seem to have the same sort of focus when it comes to cycling gear.
That is quite right. In cycling gear, there are manufacturers that are specializing only in cycle gear, and they are not, the bigger brands are not representing in South Africa. It's local manufacturers making for quite big teams and charity groups, like in the cycle tour, there's big charity groups, and it's all manufactured locally by local manufacturers, including ourselves and others.
That's absolutely brilliant, Bjorn, to have this good and local market. But surely there's got to be a great global opportunity for South African manufacturers of cycling gear, considering just the high level of specialization that you commit to it.
There is definitely a opportunities globally. I think our expertise here in South Africa, and specifically in Cape Town, we are finding that the clothing industry did collapse, but there are still pockets of amazing talent that can be sought out again and brought into the manufacturing plants. And it is definitely going to be in the sportswear, I think. I think the sportswear market in Cape Town and the manufacturing is going to be the next big thing for us. I think we need to be supported, and all the cycle where and the sportswear industry should be supported in Cape Town and in South Africa, so that we can reinvent the clothing manufacturing in Cape Town.
I think it's a wonderful appeal, Bjorn. It really is. What percentage of your business is global? Because you've got a very good website. You do deliveries. You have got mechanisms online to help people size themselves so that they can get the right cut and the right sort of fit. Do you have a big global market at this point in time?
No, we don't have a big global market. We have some clients overseas, and we are one of our better markets is actually in Namibia, because there's in Windhoek, there's a big cycling community there, and we find we are supplying most of the teams and groups and bicycle shops there. A few clients in Europe, but that is definitely an area that we're looking to supply, because we do have some trade agreements with the EU where it would benefit us to bring in fabrics from Europe and then convert them back into sportswear and send them back to Europe.
So Bjorn Bai, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. It'd be great to be able to reverse the trend. Thank you, Bjorn Vai, the owner of Vai Cycle Kit. You'll find their website, vye.co.za. Bjorn Vai, the owner of Vai Cycle Kit. Coming up in a moment, the weekly Brutal Biz Quiz. We'd love you to play this evening on 021-446-0567, 011-883-0702. There is definitely a cycling feel to tonight's Brutal Biz Quiz, with money attached, of course, in terms of money questions attached. Carl van Dreis. You never heard of him. I don't think you had. I haven't heard of him before either until today. But he was a German baron, and he invested in a machine that he called the Swift Walker, the technical name, the Velocipede, a two-wheeled human-powered vehicle in 1817. What do cyclists today call the Swift Walker, the Velocipede, that was invested in 1817 by a German baron called Karl von Dreis? Changed the world for the better, and certainly made this event that's going to happen over the next 8 days possible. 011-883-0702, 021-446-0567. What is that two-wheeled human-powered vehicle called? It's such an easy start to what used to be known as the Brutal Biz Quiz. Tonight, it's the warm and fuzzy and friendly Brutal Biz Quiz. But give us a shout this evening if you'd like to play and stand in line for bragging rights and printing your own T-shirt that says, I am the whiz of the Brutal Biz Quiz. Give us a shout right now.
The Money Show is brought to you by Absa Corporate and Investment Banking, highlighting the need to sustainably recharge global finance at Cyboss 2021. That's Africanacity. Absa is a registered FSP.
1, 2, 3, George, I need a song.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
It's my least favorite Queen song, George. Cut it, but it is appropriate for the Absa Cape Epic, of course, which is starting from UCT on Sunday morning. Birgit in Johannesburg, you are first player tonight in the Brutal Biz Quiz. Karl von Dreis, the German baron, invented a machine called the Swift Walker. He invested in it, rather, in 1817. What do we call the Swift Walker today?
Hi, Bruce. First-time caller, it's the bicycle.
You are not only a first-time caller, but you are so far ahead already in the Brutal Biz Quiz. The race to the finish has just begun. The Tour de France of mountain biking is held in which South African province?
In the Cape.
Well, the Cape is quite a big place. Which specific part?
The Western Cape.
The Western Cape, Birgit, you're doing so well. It was founded by a man called Kevin Vermaak in 2004. The Absa Cape Epic, now routinely referred to as the Tour de France of mountain biking. The start of the Absa Cape Epic for 2021 is situated in the grounds of which university?
Oh, gosh, now you've got me, Bruce.
Hold on a second. I'm sitting in the grounds of this picturesque university on the rugby fields with its glorious sandstone buildings which trail up the mountain towards Devil's Peak.
Oh, that is, of course, UCT.
Jeez, Birgit, you were close. And I'm only being nice to you because it is your first time, Birgit. Only being nice to you because it's your first time, because usually I'm very, very mean. True or false? The Cape Epic founder, Kevin Vermaak, rode in the race in its first year of 2004.
I would say yes.
I'm afraid, Birgit, I had to be mean, because, hey, this is the Brutal Biz Quiz, not the Sweet and Cuddly Biz Quiz. I'm afraid you're wrong, which helps Marcellus in Pretoria, I think. Marcellus, true or false? The founder rode in the first race?
Sorry, Bruce, say that again. I missed it, sorry.
True or false? the founder of the Cape Epic, rode in the first race. And we've already had one answer said true.
True, Bruce.
Okay, no, Marcellus, you know, really. There are two options, right? And the question is true or false. And then two people give you exactly the same answer. So that makes me the winner of the Biz Quiz this evening. I am the whiz of the Biz Quiz. I'm going to get myself a T-shirt made. It is false. It would have been highly irresponsible for Kevin Vermaak to ride in the first race because he was in charge. He is an IT engineer by profession. He rode in the APSA Cape Epic for the first time only in 2016. And it took him 3 years to recover because he only did it again in 2019. He did not ride in any of the first 15 races or thereabouts. That is a wrap from the Biz Quiz this evening. I am the winner because we've run out of time to play. But after Eyewitness News, some of the best bits from the week that has been here on The Money Show. Join you back in a moment.